We rejoin Stetson Babb at the Morris Bayer Polyclinic. Stetson?
Right, yeah. So the PM, I believe, will be ready to speak to us in a few minutes. He's just come out the last meeting and just conferring with our officials. You can walk over to Roy Morris, right? Any question with the Prime Minister speak to us, I think? Jesus. But you can't dictate that.
I can't take a call.
You can't exactly. Right, I think she's the Prime Minister, as she usually does. He's the office speaker. Yeah. As you know, likes to be the people person and to interact with various people. So I know when she was coming into, from the Jokler. Okay, yeah, indeed. So while we, as Brian Roy just intimated to me, while we wait for the PM to come to us, Major Clark is in charge of the vaccination program. That's Ambassador from Network. We're live on Brass Tack. We didn't obviously to carry the Prime Minister live, but you know, your vaccination drive seems to be doing extremely well. As I saw, the last figure prior to today were 22,000. Now I heard
about 25. We did about 3,500 last yesterday. So certainly the program is going well. I mean, lots of people are coming to the vaccine. It's going well.
How many vaccination centers are there?
Well, we rotate them for the day, so I don't announce the vaccination centres. For example, we use the Globe Drive-In sometimes. We didn't make any appointments for Monday, and there were 60 cars lined up from 6 o'clock at the Globe Drive-In, and Monday was not a vaccination day at the Globe. The owners called me to say that there are people outside lined up. So we try not to say. We only tell the people who have appointments where they to go so that we don't have too many walk-ins, because we can't over-indate the system with walk-ins. We do walk-ins, but unfortunately, we can't just cope. If classical example, West Terrace, we scheduled 80 people to go to West Terrace, and there were 500 people outside West Terrace. After we had done, when I came out, I asked, there were 6 people who had appointments, all the other people were walk-ins. And unfortunately, we couldn't cope because we leave with a certain number of vaccines a day, and so we do walk-ins, but unfortunately, we can't cope with, you know. So I would say people should really wait for their appointment to come up.
In fact, I got a call this morning from a member of the public who noticed it's true, a lot of activity in the, I believe that's about four area, where the drive-in is being used as sort of a drive. Is that sort of drive-through?
We have a drive-through at the Globe Drive-In. We have a drive-through today, but it's by appointment only. So we schedule appointments. So if we schedule 400 appointments to go to the day, and then we get 1,000 people turn up, it creates a problem because the process works is that we create a into the med data through the polyclinic system a record for you. There's an intensive process of that. And when people show up, it slows down the process if we don't have an appointment. But we'll be moving to a different appointment system next week, which would enable us to populate the databases with the information before you get there. So it will just be the vaccination process, which is quite quick.
Yeah, elaborate on that a bit, because of course everyone has concerns, a lot of questions in terms of process.
Right. So the process is you register. At present, you either WhatsApp or email and you register. We then look at the population density registration for a particular area, and then that decides if you're going to stand up a site in that area so that it's based on the population density. We then, the catchment area that site comes on with the polyclinic, we then deploy a team from the polyclinic. The teams consist of 10 people each, including there are certain requirements when we deploy a mobile team that we must have a doctor, an emergency medical tray, we must have oxygen in case people have a reaction. So it's not a case of just going out and giving vaccines. There's a team that is needed to do that. So it's a 10-person team in order to actually do vaccination to make sure it's done in a safe and proper manner in order to do that. So certainly we put that in place. Once you get there, you need your national ID card or your passport. You register. That's entered into your medical record. If you already have a medical record at one of the polyclinics, it just opens your record. If not, we open a new one for you. You then actually go and get your vaccine. And then from your vaccine, you register into the SHAPE app. We have to give you a paper vaccination form stamped and signed by the health system who vaccinates you. That's a World Health requirement. We also send it to you electronically at the end of the process. So we were thinking we could probably do it just electronically, but then we wouldn't be following the guidelines that are set down. So we have tried in every way to make sure that we've used the best practices and make sure that the standards are kept.
And the Prime Minister is now coming to us. I'm Prime Minister trying to carry with your permission live on Brass Tap.
Yes.
So, indeed. So, fine. So, we're just speaking about the clerk who was, of course, coordinating the vaccination drive. This at the end of a tour of the Morris Bayer Polyclinic and computer by Prime Minister Mia Amor-Martin. She places tremendous emphasis on this vaccination drive, and she will now speak to the news media here in the foyer of the polyclinic. Your Honor? I'm just pausing for a photo op with one of the employees at the clinic. So again, we are at North Square Polyclinic in St. Peter. Prime Minister Murphy to speak to the media here. Very shortly, of course, the Health Minister, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, also in presence. Also present, rather. Prime Minister.
Thank you. Yes. Everybody, I just want to say thank you, Stetson, for also being here. The bottom line is that this morning we wanted to come, Jeffrey and myself, along with Major Clark and Dr. Ferdinand, who head up the vaccination program, and of course to join Dr. McCollin and Sister Welch and Jordan, the orderly. Really to mark the fact that last night in the country we reached 25,000 vaccinations, we surpassed it. And it is a moment that we are grateful for, and I want to thank those Barbadians who have come forward over the course of less than 2 weeks. And the fact that we have been able to vaccinate just over 12.5% of the adult population, Dr. Ferdinand, is something that gives us comfort. I think I said to you yesterday that I hope I can address the country next week with some better news. But this is a moment where more and more Barbadians are understanding that if we want to turn the corner, if we want, like the rest of the world, we see what is happening in Israel. We see what is happening in the UAE. We see what is happening even in the United Kingdom. If we want to turn the corner on this dreaded pandemic, then we ourselves need to strengthen ourselves. And we also need to step up to the plate. I know that there's some people who have been doubtful. I think that more and more people are realizing, well, look, if 25,000 people have been vaccinated and everybody good, then a lot of what you're hearing on social media and a lot of these stories and things are exaggerated versions and do not accept the reality that in our lives as human beings, we've been vaccinated from a child. And that the reason why we can talk to Dr. Ferdinand easily now about mumps and measles and rubella and all of these other things, yellow fever, is because we are accustomed to giving children and people vaccines. Also, any of us know that you want to travel to certain countries in the world. You can't go unless you have the vaccinations. They don't let you in. So I am aware of the movement globally, but I'm equally aware of the common sense of Barbadian people. And we are here today to mark the fact that 25,000 people have said, look, we feel that this is going to make a difference to my life. And as you move around and talk with the patients here and elsewhere, there's a sense of relief and there's a sense of gratitude and there's a sense of happiness then people receive the vaccination. So that's all I want to say. I've got to go back to the testing. But are there any questions? Yes, Jesse.
Can are you satisfied that we have a sufficient supply at the moment, a vaccine at the moment, or when can we expect the next step?
Well, that's why I said yesterday to the testing. If you know me, you know that I don't like to talk unless I can say definitively. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, and I hope that I can address it in the near future. I hope that this time next week I can at least give you an update and that we should be able to have a seamless movement. We're trying as far as possible for that. I think we're less than 20,000 vaccines left in this city. That will run through those pretty much by early next week. But this is morning is about also giving comfort to those Barbadians out there who are still pondering, who are still thinking. It's good to talk to your doctor, let your doctor talk through the process with you and give you that sense of calm and comfort. And we have a situation where the polyclinics have been under pressure, as the others will tell you, and the satellite centers, because they have the people who, separate from the appointment system, have been walking in. It's not going to be perfect, but okay, ma'am, but we're going to have to be able to accommodate everyone. So that in our country, frontline workers were critical. If you don't have doctors and nurses here, those who are sick, then you have a problem. So that was a no-brainer. In our country, policemen and soldiers are critical in terms of keeping the rule of law. So we had to deal with them too. And in fact, we're also getting more policemen now staying. We've had to arrange a special session for another 100 policemen on Saturday who have come forward in the last year or two saying that they want to be vaccinated. This morning, I had 70 fishermen and vendors from the Minister of Maritime Affairs saying, can you ask the vaccinating committee to accommodate them? Because if you're going to open back up fish markets, the thing you want when people are dealing with people to make sure that they're safe. So we are in no doubt of our obligation as a government to try and find the vaccine. But I have said to the country that it is definitely wild west when it comes to these matters. But each country is obviously jockeying and trying. We're very grateful to the government of India for the donation of the first 100,000, but we have to buy the rest. And we're going to have to look at buying that separate from what we received at Jeffrey on the COVAX. I believe COVAX will give us some soon, which is the national entity that is given to all of the countries. Ghana got its first supply yesterday, and we expect that we'll get. But COVAX's commitment to us would only have been for about, 20% of the population? 20%. I don't think, you see this lady here? This lady sits on the WHO committee scientific. I'm for now, because we talk, but we don't celebrate. And Dr. Ferdinand, sorry, sits on stage. That's what he calls me. Attended the stage. Right. So that all of us have tentacles into the international health agencies, the World Health Organization or the Pan American Health Organization. Jeffrey has been sharing stuff. Jeffrey has been chairing stuff of the executive committee of PAHO. So believe you me, we're not going to do anything that will put any of our people at risk. I'm taking it. And look at me here. I'm not going to put myself at risk intentionally. So I think that once we work through the issues with the population, we work through the issues with logistics, because the demand has been ramping up quickly, there are some teething problems, but let's get real. Barbados is a small country with limited capacity. So anytime you have a mass demand for anything, you're going to have some teething problems because the system is designed to accommodate X, not X cubed or X to the fifth. So, and that's what we're facing now. We're hoping, I think I'll ask Major Clark and them also, to ensure that we have a team of doctors going to those persons from next week who may not best be position to come out to the polyclinic. So there are a number of people who the Queen Elizabeth Hospital have as outpatients who may be seriously chronically ill, and others who have the combination of that or maybe immobile because of age or some kind of illness or some kind of injury. And we're hoping that we can accommodate them too, because we recognize that not everybody is in a position to walk in or to drive through. So we can try our best, and that's all that we can do.
Tonight, you address the nation as well?
Tonight, I'm addressing the country.
Big question, everybody. We're here as well or not?
Tonight.
It is. Prime Minister Mia Moriarty, thank you.
Thank you very much. And I want, before I go, to thank these people, because, trust me, well, you may be here, but we really want to say thank you to the public health nurses of this country. And one of the reasons why Barbados, unlike most countries, could land vaccines here and within 48 hours start to roll them out
is because we have a credible system of public health nurses and public health countries. Ironic that we're here in a clinic named after Maurice Blair, and this is named after the first chief of so that in this building really lies the legacy of public health in Barbados. And that's one of the reasons that we chose to come here. And we take it for granted. But one of the things that has separated Barbados from most of the countries over the decades has been the quality of public health delivered in a country that is as densely populated as ours. So I want to wish you thank you. As you know, we had hoped at the beginning of the year to have the celebration, the awards for all of the doctors, frontline workers, orderlies, ambulance people, everybody who has helped us. But obviously, you know, the community transmission has put that on hold. That will be done as soon as we are in a position to do it. Because I don't know where we would be if we didn't have quality of persons stepping up to the plate in this country as they have. So thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dennis, Prime Minister Mia Moore-Morty, speaking to the media here at the Morris Bayer Polyclinic, and later tonight at the time, Royce still to be determined, or thanks to be determined. So, right, yeah. So, Priya Motley will address the nation tonight. At which time, I suppose we may very well hear whether the country opens back up or not.
Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. One of the issues, and we got to say farewell to Cypri, and hopefully he and I can pick up our conversation another time. But one of the issues that were front and center in the last week is this whole question of this 11 plus exam. We are in a situation now where our children have lost pretty much the entire year of face-to-face education. The question is whether or not the online version is working and indeed can work well enough. Countries like the United Kingdom have considered scrapping exams this year across the board. And the general feeling is that it is perhaps unwise to go forth. Thus far, we have only said that we will postpone the inevitable, which is the 11 plus exam. I am of the opinion, of course, that since government has already taken a decision that they're scrapping it, it makes a lot of sense to bring forward the decision to scrap it, especially at a point in time now where taking an exam will be extremely unfair to some of the children who have no access to the online facilities and indeed the environment in which those online facilities can be exploited. So I want to discuss this with one of the noteworthy educators in Barbados, one that always helps to correct my misuse of the English language, Sandy Kelman. And I believe Sandy is online on Zoom with us for a brief period. Sandy, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning. Morning and welcome. So, Sandy, you heard my take on the situation. I don't know if you want to give your perspective and then maybe we can take a couple of calls in terms of this thing.
Sure. I want to share your sentiments 100%. As you know, I have been speaking on this topic for the last 12 to 15 years, and we're still here with it. I want to really honestly speak from my heart this morning. I really would like the Ministry of Education to put this 11 plus, this year in particular, on hold, but to scrap it all together. Because I teach every day of my life, especially online, Peter, and I teach the children in this country who have lost their way. Okay, I will not go into why they have lost their way, because it's a barugle of reasons why. I do not see a lot of the children that I teach over the last 5 months since the lockdown being able to write an 11 plus exam. Maybe their name and maybe one or two multiple choice, but they're not in a position, Peter, to write a common entrance because the outcome is already known before they have written. So I really am saying and begging the Ministry of Education, and this is not right now about whether it is government or non-government. I'm speaking as a concerned, passionate Barbadian educator. I don't call myself a teacher anymore. Where I really truly I'm feeling the problems and the hurt, Peter, of these children who in by June possibly would have had to write a common entrance. Why are you letting them write a common entrance? Why? That's my question. Why? And I'm saying to the Ministry of Education, and I really don't make any apologies, Peter, about what I say and who I speak about. The Ministry of Education recently has not come to the public and said not very much. And I really do think there are people who will agree with me. Okay? They're not saying what we're going to be doing going forward. And education is a fundamental issue in this country right now. Okay? And I really would like to hear what the Ministry of Education has to say. And I really, Peter, I'm still asking why the Ministry of Education do not see it fit to bring people who are passionate, I'm not talking about with all the degrees, the people who are passionate and have their children's concern and welfare at stake to the table. Mm. I have been asking for this for a long time. It's one thing to say that you are running a country, but it's another thing to go and dabble. I mix and dabble with these children every day of my life, whether it is teenagers or primary school children who have a lot of issues, not only educationally, a lot of domestic issues who need help. And I am saying, Peter, I, Sandfield Kelman, will be taking and biting the bullet with a few people who support me on coming forward to bring some national awareness to this country about the children who are not getting it. The time has come, Peter, and going forward after this COVID, when we have eased up a bit, I really want to see the ministry do something for these young children, because they are the future. They are the children we say that are going to make this country global. You and I in 40 years might not be around here. And I want to get people who are passionate. Passion means that it hurts you to the core, Peter. I really, right now, I'm not 100% happy with the Ministry of Education. And I am not making any apologies about that, because I have to speak what is in my heart and I have to speak the truth and what I really feel. I have sat down and watched and listened, and I'm not seeing it. And when these parents come to me about their boys or girls, mainly boys, who have to write this common entrance, I mean, there are no answers. We have come to a point, Peter, in this country where we need to have a Harrison College and a Queen's College in every parish. I am tired and fed up with this. All the certain children go to Harrison College and Queen's College. What about the children who cannot get there? What is the Ministry of Education doing to help these children who have, mind you, a lot of creativity, a lot of talent? Okay, but that talent needs to be honed down in the primary school system. All right, and I am not seeing it happen, Peter, because they then come to write a common entrance at 11 years old or 10 years old, and they fail by their standards. In my opinion, every child in Barbados has something to offer, and there's a niche for every child in this country, whether Harrison College, whatever school you want to call it. And I really would like to see the Ministry of Education reopen the Alma Paris School. Okay. Mm. And of course, structured differently with people who really have a passion in taking these young boys and girls forward. Okay. Mm. It's one thing to teach, but it's another thing to have the passion and the care. And Peter, we are lacking that right now in this country. So I really am really, you know, at my...
No, Sandy, I feel your pain. I think you know that I share the same passion that you do. I have to say that I share the passion from a slightly different perspective, but I share the passion nonetheless. And of course, my passion is divided between that and several other passions that I share for other fundamental issues. But this one worries me. I want to acknowledge first, Sandy, and I don't think that I've had the opportunity to say this, but I don't know if many of you know that Sandy was honored last year. She is now Sandy Kelman OBE, which means
that she... Haven't received it yet, Peter.
But don't worry. you got it. So you will get it eventually.
Maybe I have one, but that doesn't bother me because I really don't. No, it doesn't matter to me whether I
understand.
Get it or not.
I understand. Her Majesty has been a bit busy recently dealing with other matters. So we would appreciate that. The actual distribution of orders has been a little bit slow, but nonetheless, I think that we need to acknowledge the fact that Majesty has acknowledged Sandy's work in this most important vineyard. Having said that, however, I think that we have two fundamental issues that present themselves here. The Prime Minister has indicated something similar to what you just said, Sandy, that we need to get to the stage where every school is a Harrison College or a Queen's College.
Exactly.
The Prime Minister said that. The Minister of Education has also said that the 11 plus will be ended. The challenge, however, is that when we get to the stage of the ministry and the principals, essentially the public servants, the language seems to change somewhat. And we heard the president of the Principals Association recently saying, who is herself a primary school teacher, is that unless they have an option or an alternative, they want to have an 11 plus exam. And the difficulty that I am having is that whenever we have this conversation about ending the 11 plus exam, I always hear, especially public servants, they always chime in with this chorus that says, well, you can't scrap it unless you know what you will replace it with. Now, my question is, if there is no fundamental difference between schools, what is exactly the benefit of a competitive examination to determine which schools persons go into? And to me, it should be fairly straightforward. And I think that we have a golden opportunity here now today with the COVID situation that has presented itself. It's a horrible crisis. It has created a level of disequilibrium. And Sandy, I know exactly what you're saying because I know of individual children who have not been able to study properly over the last year. One of them in particular couldn't study properly over the last year because he didn't have access to a computer and didn't have access to an environment within which you could use computer. And I keep saying it, and I don't think that people understand. The average middle-class child has the benefit of a living room and a dining room table to sit down at, who has the benefit of parents that will supervise them when they're studying and whatnot, who has the benefit of parents that will support them going over work. The average child who is not fortunate enough to come from that kind of background has a challenge where the process of studying is concerned. They may have to work on a tablet as opposed to a computer, which is not an ideal environment. And then the question is where do you set it up when you don't have a dining room table, or alternatively, where your mother uses the dining room table to make clothes or to pair preserves to sell or something like that? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that in a situation where your parents are at home and they are essentially trying to make themselves useful around the house? And you are there butting about with an iPad or something like that, trying to be able to follow a class online and so on. And let's not even talk about the availability of internet access. So generally speaking, I think that there are some major challenges in terms of bringing an exam off this year. I think it will be hugely unfair to children from a lower socioeconomic background. And I think for that reason alone, it is good enough to say, if we're planning to scrap it, let's bring it forward and scrap it this year. But I do get a sense, whenever I listen to public servants, education officers, principals, the president of principals of schools is the one that made it. Whenever I hear public servants and non-politicians talking, I hear a completely different language than that which I'm hearing from the politicians. And I'm familiar with it because I remember Luitel talking to me about the process of removing the single-sex schools and co-education, and the extent to which he received considerable resistance in terms of doing that from the technocrats within the ministry. And he had to become extremely aggressive in terms of pushing the agenda to ensure that we have a system that we have today. So it's not new. And all I can say to Minister Bradshaw is I do hope that she has the intestinal fortitude to push this thing through, because in the final analysis, she doesn't. We're going to be finding ourselves in a situation where in July or August of this year, we are going to be torturing those children and forcing them to sit an exam for which they are ill-prepared.